Net neutrality is a hot topic in recent years' news, but what is it really? Net neutrality is a concept of the internet wherein every content provider is given equal treatment regarding speed and access by every service provider to the effect that end users can access all content equally. This topic is seeing new controversies arise as technology increases and content demand changes. As telecommunication mergers increase and media industries grow, the issue becomes more complex. The Federal Communications Commission has thus far been prevented from regulating internet service providers and content providers to achieve total net neutrality, according to a 2010 article by the New York Times. But according to Larry Downs, a contributor to CNET.com, such regulation may not be necessary. He says, quote, "The growing complexity of the internet ecosystem, coupled with rapid changes in technology, made it unlikely that the FCC could ever craft rules that wouldn't become quickly obsolete if not counterproductive, and given a dynamic competitive landscape in which content providers were gaining market power unnecessary." End quote. Downs argues that content such as high-definition videos need preferential treatment due to their size. David Rosen of Counterpunch.org disagrees. He is of the opinion, along with many others, that any preferential treatment by service providers will introduce an unfair internet in which service providers will have the opportunity to deny access to sites that have competing interests to their own. They would also be able to reduce speed to sites that do not pay a premium fee. As of now, service providers are allowed to increase the data transfer speed of sites that do pay a premium fee. So is net neutrality really a good idea? At face value, it seems so. If there is a level playing field, so to speak, then everyone has the same chance of being heard, from huge conglomerates like Disney and its affiliates, to small businesses and private bloggers. The World Wide Web would be a place where total freedom of thought and speech exists, and anyone can access any piece of information as easily as the next. That was the dream, right? However, there is truth to Downs's argument. Anyone who has downloaded a text document from the internet, then downloaded a video, will note the difference in speed. There is also often a notable difference in the loading times for regular videos and high-definition videos. If these high-density files are traveling in the same space as all of the rest of the information, we may see a return to speeds of 10 to 20 years ago. This could, of course, be solved by service providers putting such files in a faster lane for free, so that their motivation for what may be labeled inappropriate preference would be removed. But what about the extra cost to their businesses for doing so? They would need to improve their infrastructures, which is not free. Inevitably, if the content providers do not foot the bill, then the end users, the subscribers, would. Not only would extra costs be incurred, but additional government regulation would be required to ensure that net neutrality was being enforced. Neutrality supporters argue that without regulation, service providers would not play by the rules. In fact, according to Bill Moyers on Moyers on America, these supporters argue that some content would be blocked entirely for whatever reason the service provider sees fit. The issue might not be seen as large of a threat if there were many service providers. However, with the natural monopoly state of the internet as an industry and the existence of only a few providers, the possibility of abuse of power is much stronger. Marvin Amori of the Huffington Post suggests that service providers, such as Comcast, could block tweets criticizing Comcast service, thus reducing free speech. Personally, I think that a lack of net neutrality can easily be abused, just as any other lack of regulation. Historically, one can look at the railroad industry, the steel industry, and even today the oil industry, and see the potential for inappropriate use of power for profit in the hands of monopolized or oligopolized businesses. However, it cannot be assumed that regulation will fix these types of problems. Every time a law is introduced, businesses immediately begin to find a way around them. In the case of the oil industries, antitrust laws are still ignored. In the case of the telecommunications industry, it is possible that increased regulation, aside from being potentially ineffective, could actually add to the problem. Anything from reduced speed on broadband connections to reduced speeds in the courts as the industries battle out the lawsuits that are bound to arise, causing countless dollars in wasted expense, not to mention increased federal spending in attempting to enforce regulations, could and likely will occur. One could also look at the education system as an example of regulation gone wrong. The No Child Left Behind Act under the Bush administration was an attempt to increase performance in students. However, increased testing, coupled with reduced standards, i.e. the grading scale, have actually decreased the performance of students nationwide. This could be seen as part of why America is falling behind other industrialized countries in terms of technology and innovation. Even today, as student progress declines, teachers are required to, quote-unquote, teach the test, rather than the material being tested on. Some schools even prevent teachers from doing anything other than reading a scripted lesson to students. Regulation may be a helpful tool, but the more it is introduced on a national scale, the more it will be about quantifiable data instead of quality information. I think that the choice between regulation and deregulation will ultimately boil down to a vote between the lesser of two evils, whichever one that may be. My personal view is that regulation in any situation, while possibly helpful, is not the answer. Laws do not keep people or companies from doing bad things. It simply punishes them when and if they get caught. Only an internal standard of right conduct can be relied upon to accomplish what neutrality supporters desire. Unfortunately, there is no way to externally implant this into corporation leaders.